This is Dr. Madeline Frank with your one-minute musical radio show for February 2016. How did classical music play a part of Dr. Gerald Edelman's life as a physician, Nobel Prize winner, neuroscientist, professor, researcher, author, musician, husband and father, and what musical instrument did he play? Dr. Edelman began playing the violin as a young boy and thought about becoming a concert violinist. He studied violin with many different teachers. He said, finally landing up with Albert Meek, who was a classmate of Yasha Heifetz in St. Petersburg under Leopold Auer. He and his sister Doris were sent by their parents to Carnegie Hall to hear concerts regularly. Dr. Gerald Edelman was a lifelong violinist and played a series of classical music concerts at his Neurosciences Institute in the auditorium in California. Dr. Gerald Edelman and his wife Maxine Morrison Edelman understood the value of having their three children study a musical instrument. Their son, Dr. David Edelman, said in an interview with Susan Mazur, "Both of my parents insisted that I learn and that my siblings, Eric and Judith, learn a musical instrument. My father was a violinist. My mother played flute and piano. My parents didn't care which instruments we chose as long as we learned to play an instrument. They were very wise in their insistence because the violin has always been something I could lean on in the absence of anything else in my life. Music was, of course, central to my father's life. His professional aspirations as a violinist was interpreted by his mother's insistence that he pursue something with which he could actually make a living. My father steered clear of imposing science on us. He was eager for us to be interested in science, but he wasn't activist about it." Dr. Gerald Edelman's theory of neuronal Darwinism in musical metaphors. Dr. Edelman said, "Think if you had 100,000 wires randomly collected to four string quartet players, and that even though they weren't speaking words, signals were going back and forth in all kinds of hidden ways, as you usually get them by the subtle, nonverbal interactions between the players that make a whole set of sounds a unified ensemble. That's how the maps of the brain work by reentry. The players are connected. Each player interpreting the music individually constantly modulates and is modulated by the others. There is no final or master interpretation. The music is collectively created and every performance is unique." Dr. Oliver Sacks, from his book On the Move, A Life, said, "This is Edelman's picture of the brain as an orchestra, an ensemble, but without a conductor, an orchestra which makes its own music." Professor William Linzer, my teacher and mentor at the Juilliard School, asked me to promise before he died on July 31, 1997, to have a dialogue with Dr. Gerald Edelman. Professor Linzer said, "Dr. Gerald Edelman is the most brilliant mind of this century." Professor Linzer and I had done research on how music stimulates the brain to promote scholastic excellence. Professor Linzer, during my studies with him at the Juilliard School, introduced me to Dr. Edelman's book, Brilliant Air, Brilliant Fire, on the Matter of the Mind, and his articles. I was fascinated as I read and studied them. I sent a letter to Dr. Edelman about Professor Linzer's passing. Included in the letter to Dr. Edelman was an article Professor Linzer and I had worked on together and my research on a study done on a Virginia public middle school of economically deprived students taking string and band classes and monitoring their grades throughout the school year. I summarized my research in my new book, The Secret of Teaching Science and Math Through Music. Professor Linzer and I had done research on how music stimulates the brain to promote scholastic excellence. I asked Dr. Edelman several important questions about students coping with epilepsy, cerebral palsy, brain cancers, Parkinson's, and neurological diseases. On September 15, 1997, Dr. Edelman wrote back, "I was sad that Professor Linzer died. He was a superb musician and broad-ranging spirit." He went on to say, "Your enterprise using musical training to enhance the scholastic performance of deprived children is a noble one. Unfortunately, there is at present no firm grounds for answering your medically directed questions. Before looking at patients with various disorders, a sound database on normal subjects will have to be collected. A few of my colleagues at the Neurosciences Institute are beginning to look into these problems, but I'm afraid it will be some time before satisfactory answers are forthcoming. Dr. Edelman, at the end of his letter, said, "You have tapped into some very important issues, and your questions are well placed. In any event, your observational data should make a real contribution to the fields of music and education in general." I treasure Dr. Edelman's letter, and it is framed over my computer to remind me to keep searching for answers and to help others. Dr. Gerald Edelman's brilliant light left this earth on May 17, 2014, in La Jolla, California. He was 84 years old.